Good morning. Maybe it's good news for some of us. Probably you used to get up at this time is good morning, but if you get up later, then is good news. We are challenged by the coming of the storm Sandy. I thought they are changing the names now to male names, but they're still holding it to ladies. It's not fair, because sometimes males are more furious in their actions and in their attitudes. It brings to my mind a story, a true story. An Australian was visiting Hangzhou. And some of you probably heard of that city. It's a beautiful city by the West Lake. And the West Lake was known far better than Hangzhou. And he was standing by the West Lake for the longest time, looking into one place. And a photographer who's interested in a non-Chinese looking into the bright sky, and he took the picture, and then he asked him, "Why are you not looking into pretty lake? The hosts of humanity walking through, the decoration, the flowers, the trees. Instead, you look into the gray sky." You know what his answer was? He said, "I want to see a patch of the blue sky." Now, I'm sure you wanted to see the blue sky today, and I don't know how many of you did get to see the blue sky. But it looks like later on you will not see it because the cloud is going to cloud the sky. That gentleman from Australia who lives in China in the beautiful city of Hangzhou was not able to see the beautiful sky for the longest time because the city is oftentimes crowded by dusts. The dust cover the city as well as cover the beautiful West Lake. So on that day, he was sick and tired of seeing the gray sky. He wanted to see the blue sky. And so he went to West Lake and wanted to see a patch of the blue sky. Many a times you and I probably living under dark clouds in our Christian life. But remember, Jesus wants us to penetrate beyond the grayish sky and look into the blue sky that he had given to us. Chapter 7 of Matthew is a chapter that brings about many teachings, and I thought I did ask you to do something about your prayer life, which is a resource for godly living. Jesus taught us by saying, "Seek, ask, seek, and knock," as a very good godly resources that some of us probably need to be reminded, especially today, in the confronting with the storm that's coming to us. And I do not know, are you afraid of the storm? I don't know what city most of you live in. And I know in East Brunswick, the police called us and told us not to be afraid and just do some preparation. And then I discovered my big battery is out of batteries, and then I know that resources need to be found soon. Jesus says, in your spiritual life, you need to ask, you need to seek, and you need to also knock. All these three has to do with the prayer request that God wants us to be reminded of, our spiritual resources. It is an invitation. It is a challenge of your spiritual life and my spiritual life. Jesus is using a very interesting concept about prayer. The word is ask, and it will be given to you, and seek, and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. Express a continuation of a walk before God. Not just seek or ask and knock when Sandy comes, but rather in your spiritual walk with God, that is a continuation of your spiritual life, that you will be, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Because our Heavenly Father wants us to have that connection with Him. The connecting point between us and God is by seeking Him, knocking at Him, and asking Him to be in the focus of our spiritual life. And then Jesus says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Because it was James in chapter 4, 13, he says, what is the source of the quarrel and the conflict among you? It is not the source of pleasure that wage war in your members. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and commit cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasure. That's James. James chapter 4, 1 to 3. And here we see, here what James echoes, what Jesus is teaching about. Ask, seek, and knock. And he further demonstrated, you ask, you seek, and you knock must combine with a good motives. What is the motives? The focus is motives that we need to focus with what is what matters. What is most important is on God's kingdom, on asking for God's glory, and not just out of our dictation. A while ago in the Chinese service, I reminded them, most of us Cantonese tend to put our prayer in a Buddhist terms. The Buddhist terms is asking God to answer my prayer. As if that's the indication of the Buddha's power. Actually, it's a reflection of how I can demonstrate my wishes through the idol. Now, those of you who are crazy about American Idol, I hope you do not put idols in front of your spiritual life. And you know, one of the idols oftentimes we American have is our tradition. Your tradition becomes your idol, and you cannot get through it. My tradition tells me this is the way to handle things, therefore I handle things this way. Some of your study habit is because of tradition. And you go to your tradition and go back there, and you never think there's another way of study other than lying on the floor with a television blast off and then to do your homework. That kind of tradition kill more people in their study than helping them. Therefore, our spiritual life must face with good habit, good motives. We do not ask God for what we want Him to answer us, but rather we trust that He will answer our needs rather than will answer our dictation. Jesus also calls us to be persistent because He says not just you are seeking, not only asking, not only knocking, but Jesus said, for everyone who asks, receive, he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. In other words, need to be persistent, not just to continuation of relating to God, but need your praying must be keep on asking and relating to God. Notice the progression of these words. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. There's a progress. There is an intensity in asking. Ask is simply for God to answer a request. Seeking is more intensive of a pursuing of your asking. But knock is banging on the door. Of course, right now you're using push button. Or using cell phone, isn't it? Better yet, probably is sending email. And I know it's popular now among the young people saying to their parents, don't call me until I call you. And I hope some of you who goes to college will change that thinking, because I, who was a parent, would love to hear from my children. Even though now my kids are no longer, they have become parents. And I know a statement, it is their convenience. It becomes my headache. What is a statement? Don't call me until I call you. In other words, telephone is for my convenience. It's not for you, but not for your convenience. I think that's not the way that God wants us to have our prayer life. God wants to hear from us. You can report to Him your joy, your sadness. You can report to Him of your plan as well as your thinking. God wants to hear from you. Not just because when you're in tears, when you're being tear apart, but God wants to hear you when you're wholesome, when you're in one all together before Him. So ask, seek, and knock is a progression, is from the word of a good picture about remembering our Lord in our lives. And that's why Jesus is using the unjust judge in his granting the request from the woman who keep on asking. Because God wants you to develop what? Develop a habit. Develop a habit by pursuing with all our strength, so that He invites you and invites me to come to Him, to be near Him, to seeking Him, to knocking at Him, to asking Him, so that as a loving Father, He knows not just what we want, but how we feel, not just how we are confronted with challenges, and also when we are exposed to Him of what our inside is all about. So there's an invitation. I hope you know Jesus gave the invitation with a promise. Verse 8, Jesus say to us, for everyone who asks, receives, he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I hope Most of you have your NIV version, right? And I'm reading. Am I right? Do you all have your NIV? Oh, is it NIV on the wall? God rewards his children, in other words. God awards his answer to children who ask for. He supplies. He supplies all our needs for everything we need. I'm sure you and I oftentimes are curious. How soon is God going to answer my requests? When I was in junior high, I was so envious of a bicycle because I go to school. Walking from the farm to school was quite far away. And my father, in his wisdom, knows that I cannot protect my bike. So he will not buy me a bike. Not only because he was not that rich, but because I was not that careful about my belongings. But Jesus wants us to learn to ask him until he can grant us his answer. Because he wants us to learn more about him. When we are troubled with the coming of Sandy, I think God wants us to learn humility more than dependency, more than trusting him. And I wonder, in your diary, what did you reflect on the coming of this storm? Is it fear? Or is it anxious? Or is it, God, what are you teaching me? To be more humble? To be more depending on you? To be more trusting and more obedient on you. I know this word obedient is a difficult word. We only base on what we think about obedience in the constitutional way. The president demands everybody obeys him. And all the top officers demand their under officers to obey them. But does the president obey anybody? So that's why he's asking the people to vote for me. Because until you vote for me, I could not command you. Mutual responsibility demands mutual obedience. Many times we don't understand Jesus' command about following me, because follow demands obey. Obedience is a difficult word to define and to follow. And Jesus says, you seek and you ask, and then you knock. That is a progression of how you obey me. And that is where the source of strength coming from. Jesus says, just ask me and I will give it to you. Just knocking at my door, I will answer your prayer. To everyone who asks, God is provide what he needs. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the Old Testament's story about Asa. Asa has become a great king because he have changed his people's focus on God. You know, not everybody who has been called by God to be in his kingdom as a leader remembers that his focus is needing to lead people back to God. Israelites' history, Judah's history, often reminds them that the emperor, who's the top leader, make a great big difference on the people whom he follows. If the leader focus on himself, or focus on his kingdom only, oftentimes have lose sight of their obedience to a God. Asa had become a great king because somehow he did not lose his focus on God. That's why on 2 Chronicles 16:9, a prophet named Hanani says to him, "The eyes of the Lord moves to and from throughout the earth, and he may strongly support," who support those whose heart is completely his. God is looking for people who are completely his, who are devoted to him, who are following him. God is looking for someone who's really putting him on the focus of their attention. That's why Sermon on the Mount is all about focusing on King Jesus, who is the sovereign Lord in the universe. When your heart and my heart is completely his, God says, "I will show myself strongly on your behalf." And that is a promise. So as much as God invites us into his presence, he also wants us to know that there is a promise that he gave us. Somehow, God respects his creation. It's interesting how God respects people who built his church. God respects his disciples. God respects you and me because each and every one of us have our dignity before God. So he invites us to ask, to seek, and to knock, because you know, if we have a mindful of him and pursuing him, he is going to answer us. Because that's a meaningful relationship, and we will be responded by his presence. Prayer is more than just seeking things. Prayer is more than knocking for what we want. Prayer is expressing through our knocking of God's door that will become intimate with the powerful God. We will have him as on our side as we pray to him. Even sinful human beings need to understand the prayerfulness. That's why in Jesus' statement, he says, verse 9, "For which one of you, evil man, unkind man, if his son asks for bread, you will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a snake?" He says, those are out of the question. Even you knows good to deliver to people who ask. And our God is mindful of your dignity and your request. He will not give you just the contrary to your request. Because we're hungry and God will provide food. And because we need his presence, he will be near us. These are interesting aspects of God. And I don't know, in your Bible study or on your study of theology, people will tell you there are two characters of God that we call them a very interesting characteristics of God. One is called God's transcendence, and the other is called God's immanence. The transcendence characters is the God who is sovereign, controlling, and creating, keep on creating, of the universe. Now, right now we can see through the universe, keep on expanding. And this is how God is still at work. He's a creator. That means he knows everything that's going on. But yet, scientists continue to discover beyond the smallest particle, there's still more small particles to discover. And God's immanence is telling us he knows our inner thoughts, he knows our inner needs, and he's close to us. He's not just far away, who's in control of the universe, but he also is living inside of us. And that's why prayer brings these two extremes. The transcendence of God and the immanence of God together through our prayer. That's why this verse at the end, Jesus says in verse 12, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For the sum of the law and the prophets." Last time we talked about sum of the law and the prophets. And we're talking about that again. Because it's a challenge. Jesus wants us to seek God. Knocking at God's door. Wants us to ask God. It's basically on God's wonderful character. The reality that is that God will supply all we need, and so he wants us to do the same thing in the same way that he granted us his request, we too will grant others of what they need. And then Jesus further saying that when you do what God's character is all about, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend on the whole law and the prophets. That's Matthew 22:37-40. Also in Mark 12:30-31. Jesus is saying, you draw upon the strength of the Father, who is the creator. Then you will also mindful of people who are in need, who are in need of your presence or in need of your help. When you put your faith in God, then you will hinge on your relationship, not just on him alone, but you also will extend it to others. That is why the picture of the cross is so important for you to be a follower of Jesus Christ, not just so you follow God horizontally, but you also extend vertically, but you also extend yourself horizontally to meet others, because we also meet their needs as we our needs are being met by God. As we trust in God, have no worry, we also should have faith trusting other people. Let our trust of people becomes a hallmark of our Christian life. Because, you know why? Because we are free by God's sustaining power of God's presence in our lives. Too often, we are like people who are lack of trust, suspicious of other people, and thinking of the bad motives of other people more than what we really are in trust. That is why the last time I brought you this concept of golden rule, it's because Jesus is saying that you would do to others. Do not do to others as they would do to you, and you would do to others as they would do it to you. He's call us to and challenge to us that we will do not rely only on our strength, because we have a heavenly Father who will do this for us. I wonder if you know the Lord's Prayer. How does the Lord's Prayer begin? our Father who art in heaven. When you say our Father, not just he's the originator of all things. He's not just the creator of you, but he's a sustainer. He's a director of all the events that are happening. Lately, I observed what's happening in China. I could not be amazed, you'd be more amazed than all the intricacies that's happening. I was amazed how God used little events. Someone who was not happy about someone else and take his life away, and that person's life created whole revelation. And the whole revelation toppled one of the would-be kings, so to speak, of China and his family. God is in control. Don't think your violation of God's law means nothing. It means everything in God's kingdom. That's why we need to pray to him, is who is our Lord and God. He will take care of the things that you cannot take care of. To conclude with this study, I'm reminding of a testimony that a few years back that I heard from one of my visiting scientists from China who attends our church in San Francisco. Our church is not too far from the famous San Francisco Medical Center of the University of California. So the scholars oftentimes visit us. And a couple who is with their two children visited us very faithfully from Sunday to Sunday. And they're faithful not just to attending service, but also attending our Sunday school and gave good adherence to the gospel. And the wife expressed a desire to be baptized. But the husband, who is a top scientist, professor, did not knock his head. Politely, we asked him for reasons. We thought he could not let go of evolutionary theory. He says, no, I cannot accept evolutionary theory. We thought he might be still has some Marxism in his life. He says, no, I don't worship Marxism. Then what? Why can't you? Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, I do. But would you want to be baptized in his name? He says, I wait. He just would not want to step forward. And the 2 years of his exchange program is soon to be, will be over. And he will have to leave us. So we've been praying for him. We've been seeking God, knocking at God's door about his ability to further his commitment to Jesus Christ. And he just smiled each time talking to us very politely as a scientist. Until one day, he called me and says, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Of course, we're elated, happy, and ask him, what happened that now, after all these long years of prayer, long months of prayer, that you did not say yes, now suddenly, is it one of the Sunday school class that moves you to make that decision? Uh-uh. Is it one of my sermon that moves you? Uh-uh. He says, it's out of a contact. What contact? Remember, we have been praying for him through our church weekly prayer meetings and through our elders' monthly prayer meetings, through our weekly church staff prayer meetings. We've been praying for him. somehow God seems to did not answer of seeking, knocking of his door. But now he says, the reason why I want to receive baptism now is because a week ago, two brothers who are not that rich, also as scholars, they accepted Christ. We called it Mr. A and Mr. B, A and B, who wanted to show him the redwood growth in China, in north of the Golden Gate Bridge. Some of you have probably been there. You see the stout, rising redwood trees, big trees, straight up, amazing sceneries. So they said, you have not been there, we want to take you and your wife, four of us go to this, visiting the redwood growth. And it was north of the Golden Gate Bridge, and so they have to rent a car and go around and around and around and around to the depth of the bottom of the hill to get to the Redwood Park. So, as you can imagine, when these two young men who took him were not that impressive of that experience in driving. Maybe like some of you who are crazy about driving. And so Mr. A, who rented the car, feeling kind of not so easy to drive back, he asked B to drive back. B, equally inexperienced in about driving, so on the way back, he's round and round and round and round to go up, and unfortunately, he banged into someone. It's not a big deal, but must wait for the coming of the police. So Brother A says to Brother B, I am the signer of this contract. I am protected by insurance. Let the insurance take care of this problem. So why don't you just quickly, before the coming of police, switch seat with me so that I will take that responsibility. Would you do that? I know you're not driving yet. I mean, the young man, what's yours? Elizabeth, is that where your shirt says? Why is it say? Anyway, would you do that? You probably not. Why not? You don't want to switch? That's true. He asked him three times. A asked B to move so that I can go back, go to your seat and switch place with you. He did not move. And the third time he answered back, he says, I am a Christian. I need to face my consequences. God will take care of me. He's not rich. He's a poor student. What can he face with the accident, the cost, the cost of the aftermath? He does not know. But he says, I am a Christian. I need to face up to my responsibility. That is his answer. That was his answer. Now, it's not a big deal, and the solution is not too complicated, and they solve the problem. But the impact on him as a faculty member of a medical school really, really is bad. He said, I truly understand a person who's really a follower of Jesus Christ. I have seen with my eyes someone who's truly a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why. All these times, you people talking about the faith, the love, the hope, and everything, and I have not seen someone at work. He finally have seen somebody with his own eyes. Of course, it is a result of prayer. Of course, someone have sought the Lord. Someone have asked the Lord. Someone have been knocking at the door. I mean, the whole church have been praying for him. The leaders, the elders have been praying for him for months. We finally see God use an incident is so insignificant, and yet it's such an impact have done in his life. Therefore, pray. I don't know what prayer requests you have for your neighbors, for your schoolmate, especially those who bully you, those who have no respect for you. How can you make him or her to change their behavior? Or maybe even faculty members. I know my daughter had a CP5 class, and that teacher is known for his ability to shut down in the brightest kids in the class, because he wants them to know that they don't know what they know. And then almost the brightest kids in the first test will flunk, and everybody cries at home. I don't know what's your problem. What do you face? Anything bigger than Chandy? I hope you know you need to ask God. You need to seek him. You need to knock at him. Because prayer is the connection between you and God. It's not just an invitation. It's not just a challenge. It's God's promise. And God will reward you. Shall we pray? Father, we know it is simple to exercise in Christian life, because you have provided us with so many resources, and yet oftentimes we have forgotten to use them, to follow them, to exercise them. We pray that you teach each and every one of us, whether we are old or we are strong or we are young, we all need you. We pray that you teach us how to relate to you, how to be persistent in prayer, and how to pray in your name, follow your will. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.